what you are basically. Deep, deep down, far, far in, is simply the fabric and structure of existence itself.
Peace for all men and women, for all men and women, for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, peace in all time.
Honestly expressing yourself.
Peace for all men and women, for all men and women, for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, peace in all time.
The fabric and structure of existence itself.
Hi everybody, welcome to the Parallel Mike podcast. I'm your host Mike and thank you so much for joining us. Tonight we've got a new guest on the show. Her name is Julia Lapine. Julia is here to talk to us about electromagnetic frequency radiation or EMFs. And you know, this is something that is very close to my own heart. And I mean that literally, as in EMF causes me serious heart pains and also pains in other organs. So I have to use a wired connection. I'm using one right now. So this is something that I think we all need to get up to speed on. The world is changing very fast over the last 100 years. The levels of EMF radiation have gone up over a billionfold. Yes, over a billionfold. In fact, it could even be in the trillions. Nobody actually knows, but it's an infinitely higher amount. But it's only going to get worse, and therefore we have to understand, is this harming us? Because we have seen outrageous numbers of autoimmune diseases, neurological problems, autism, all other kinds of disorders that are just coming to the fold since the 1970s, which lo and behold is when we started to introduce all of these technologies into our houses and our day-to-day lives, particularly telecommunications technologies. But it's only going to get worse. We're going towards 5G, 6G. Then they want to put us in smart cities. Then they want to make the Internet of Bodies, the Internet of Things. I don't like the sound of that future. So I want to do a deep dive on EMF. And that's why Julia is here tonight. So members, please head over to parallelmike.com to listen to the full episode. If you're not a member yet, please consider joining us. I look forward to seeing you all over there if you do join us. Thank you so much for listening. And like always, I'll see each and every one of you in the next one. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Parallel Mike podcast. Today, we are joined by Julia Lapine, a first-time guest on the show and somebody who suffers from electromagnetic frequency radiation sensitivity. I don't know if that's how you call it, Julia, so I'll ask you in a second, but that's how I've called it because I've got a bit of that also. And that's the topic we're going to be discussing today. So we're going to look at the history and also how Julia came to recognize that she had this, how she diagnosed it. And I think this one's going to be a very important episode, especially with the trajectory that we're on in society. We've got 5G, 6G, the proposition that we're going to be going to smart cities and have all of this tech forcibly added to our lives, really. So I think this one's a really important episode for listeners. I'm really excited to learn more about it. And welcome to the show, Julia. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Did I get your name right, Julia? Is it Lapine?
Lupine. Lupine, like the flower.
Well, I'm really excited for this one because I've got EMF sensitivity, but nowhere near the level that you did. But when I was learning about your story, Julia, I was quite worried, actually, because you mentioned that it came on mild to begin with and it kind of developed over the course of your life. So maybe we could start with that. How did you first come to recognize that you was getting symptoms that were directly related to EMF? And maybe you could just take us back to the beginning on that one.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I probably had it my whole life. I was born a couple days early due to barometric pressure changes during a big lightning storm. So I always joke that it's my superpower. But it became clear to me around the early 2000s when I started camping a lot because I had trouble concentrating at school and work and jobs. And I realized I felt great when I was out in nature. And I was really into survival training and was living in caves just for fun and studying primitive skills. So I got to see the contrast and noticed that I felt great when I was out there. And then when I'd come into town and immediately check my phone, I'd start feeling bad. Just mostly for my main symptoms were disorientation, dizziness, sometimes anxiety, just a sense of overwhelm, like I couldn't process all of the information coming at me. And then later that also turned into nerve pain, headaches, tingling of the fingertips. But especially I'd get a pain right where I held my cell phone. When the cell phone was on, I'd feel a pain in the side of my head that would go away when I wasn't on the phone. So it became pretty obvious and definitely was tolerable in the early days and progressed and became worse and worse the longer it went on.
You know, in the introduction, I called it EMF sensitivity, Julia. Should we be calling it EMF poisoning, do you think? Would that be a better term? Because sensitivity almost makes it sound like these things are okay and healthy and we have a problem with them. Whereas the way I've always seen it is these things are potentially dangerous, most likely dangerous. So would EMF poisoning probably be a better term?
A lot of people are calling it that because, and there's debate in our community about what to call it, the name EMF sensitivity, it's misleading for reasons that you said, because it's like saying that you're cyanide sensitivity or that you have cyanide sensitivity, you know, it's not good for anybody. There are certain lucky people like me and you who can feel it, but other people are getting sick and dropping dead for unknown causes. But sometimes these people, if they move away from the cell tower, their chronic health conditions reverse. And you see it with animals too. Like an animal would never have psychosomatic symptoms, but a lot of cats and dogs will get better when will get over their chronic health conditions when the Wi-Fi is turned off or when there's a change of location. So it's definitely something that's affecting all of us. And some of us are just the first to notice it or the first to be affected. But this is an issue that's affecting all life on Earth, and especially the bees and pollinators, and migratory bird populations are plummeting because the birds are getting lost and disoriented because they use the magnetic fields of the Earth to navigate. And that's being superimposed by this fake wireless radiation. That's just disorienting them. And then the bee problem too. Like I have a friend who her bees disappeared because Starlink was installed at the farm, and that the bees all the hives all failed that year. So yeah, there's definitely a connection.
Wow, that's really interesting to hear. I'd love to talk more about that later on. But for listeners that I'm not fully aware of what we're talking about, Julia, how do you describe EMF and what devices and pieces of equipment that we have in our life are emitting EMF?
Well, it's an invisible force, but it's on the same spectrum as visible light. It's goes from, you know, from the spectrum of infrared, like all the way to ionizing radiation, such as gamma rays and X-rays. But in between that, it's in the megahertz and gigahertz frequencies are the our devices that are ubiquitous in the modern age, the Wi-Fi on our computers or the chip on smart devices that communicate with each other, like refrigerators and washing machines, usually in the modern age are emitting. And you can test this with an EMF meter, also cell phones, of course. And just all of these device, you know, wireless speakers. It's and all new cars have Bluetooth capabilities and different things that are emitting. And then there's AC, common household power, which operates on 60 hertz for us, and then I guess for in Europe it's 50 hertz. But these are all still unnatural frequencies to the non-native frequencies to Earth. It's which the natural radiation is DC, like what's coming from the sun and space is mostly on the DC spectrum, but these unnatural AC frequencies are detrimental and can interfere with biological systems.
Yeah, and you mentioned, Julia, that the birds and the bees, that they're using magnetism and electromagnetism. Would you say that we are the same, that we are electromagnetic beings, that we have electrical impulses going throughout our body, through our heart. You could even maybe look at it from the Asian or Eastern perspective, where we've got these meridians that have these electrical impulses. Is that how you frame it? And would that be the explanation as to why these are so damaging to us? Because we are essentially all living in this giant electrical universe.
Yeah, we're electromagnetic beings. I mean, think about it. It's the life force. It's what animates Frankenstein, you know? It's EKGs, EEGs, electroshock therapy, defibrillators. It's hidden in plain sight that our bodies are an electrical system, but it's not really taught. It's between the lines, you know, medically we're taught that the body is a chemical system, but it's actually an electrochemical system. It works in conjunction with each other. And the meridian, and yeah, the acupuncture meridian system is thought to be the sort of the wiring of the body, like how the bioelectricity flows through the body. And that gets jammed up if there's a cell phone signal, and what it'll do is it will cause inflammation to lodge in certain meridian points. And actually, if you know the system really well and you massage those points or do acupuncture, it actually clears it up a lot and can help with sensitivity reactions. So does grounding. Walking barefoot on the earth or laying down after a large exposure can really significantly help and reduce the inflammation.
Yeah. So how has this affected your life, Julia? It sounds like when I read your book and I've listened to you on another podcast, it sounds like for you, it's really, if we're talking about a spectrum, you're at the very far end of it, in that pretty much everything's affecting you that has these EMF frequencies, and you've really had to drastically fight to just have some sense of normality, because otherwise your life is so impacted by it. But maybe you could just give a taste of that for listeners as to how bad it got for you. Because when I talk about it, for me, it's like if I've got the Wi-Fi on my laptop, I get shooting pains in the heart and I get dull aches in certain organs. It's extremely uncomfortable. It's not nice. But the moment I turn the adapter off and I go back to using a lead, I can function pretty well in society. You know, I don't get particularly affected. I go to the city and it's worse, but it's not really a disability as such. You know, I can get on with living. But for you, it sounds like it's way, way worse than that. So can you tell us more about that, please?
Oh, for sure. Well, it progressed over time, but basically, it's created drastic changes in my life, which ended up to be for the better. So I grew up in suburban Connecticut, about as normal as you can get, you know, and went to the mall with my friends on weekends and, you know, and just had jobs in the city. And later on, I lived in caves to escape the wireless radiation because I couldn't go anywhere. And I'd backpack to town every few days and load up a backpack with supplies and then get back out to nature. But now I own my own farm in a remote area. And this was like, it was like the impetus to get me to get it together to be able to afford this. And I milk goats every day and I have a garden. I'm building an underground house and a greenhouse. And I got a great life and out in nature in this remote area all the time. And my health is amazing. But when I go to town, the symptoms immediately start coming back, the head pains and nerve twitchiness. And I usually can handle it long enough to get gas and groceries and then get back to the remote area. But yeah, there's definitely been some changes. And for me, it progressed over time, right? And there's these thresholding events that I talked about in my book that can happen. Basically, a large it's triggered usually by the cumulative effects of inflammation lodging in the meridian points, and probably coinciding with my immune system being down from not sleeping enough or taking care of myself enough when this happened. And then these large exposure events would happen, after which I never fully recovered, or things weren't the same after. The first one was I climbed a cell tower one day to try to face my fears, which was a pretty stupid thing to do, but I didn't know anything at the time. I just thought I was going crazy, and so did everybody else. This was almost 20 years ago now. And then the second, so I was never quite the same after that. And I couldn't handle the exposure as much, which whereas before I was more like you, I'd get a little bit of a headache, but I could still function in society. And then the second event that happened was years later, I was at a hospital just getting some routine blood work, and I got almost this seizure-like event. I don't know what it was, but I felt the headache building up, and it just got worse and worse, and nerve pain and tingling going up my arms. And it turned into like I couldn't stop shaking, like involuntarily shaking, and my vision was starting to go, and this side of my face, like my eyes started twitching, and things got really bad. And I've never had an emergency in the emergency room because they just don't care, like they don't notice. So I ran outside and just laid down on the ground because that helps. And I was involuntarily convulsing and just completely spazzing out. Really painful too. And after about 10 minutes of that, I felt fine. I went home, went to sleep. And the next day things were different. I couldn't even go into a house without getting veins sticking up on my arms and legs, like horrible migraine headaches, complete disorientation and dizziness. And that never really went away. I just drastically changed my life after that. And I don't go to people's houses and barely go to town now and live in a remote area of Colorado where there's barely any cell phone signal. So I do fine, and my health recovered, but it was definitely a journey to get to where I am now. And now I'm continuing to speak out about this and educate people and, you know, try to get the word out that this is a serious problem being faced by us on the planet these days, but there are solutions, there's things we can do, and there's always hope.
No, I'm really glad, because I think it's something that very few people are even aware of. And I know when I first started speaking about it, people would try and talk me out of what I was telling them. Like, I was telling them that this is what it is, and they'd try and talk me out of it as though it must be something else. It can't be that. And I know 100% is that. I remember the first day I ever turned off the Wi-Fi adapter on the laptop, and it was literally instantaneous. The relief, just like as the whole weight just lifted off my body. And I told my wife, like, wow, this is it. I figured it out. It's coming from the laptop, because I knew something was going wrong. But yeah, when I told other people, they were like, ah, no, we've got research on that, Mike. And it's it says it's fine. It's all safe. So I guess my theory on it is that I'm feeling the damage that they are not recognizing is happening. I don't feel like I'm different to them. I feel like we are all being damaged. It's just people like you, to a much greater degree, and people like me are feeling the effects of these things. Is that how you frame it as well, Julie, that we're all being attacked by these EMFs? It's just that we're picking up on it and other people are not.
Yeah, you're totally right. It's like if you walk into this a scented candle shop, and some people might not notice it because their olfactory glands are burned out by constant exposure and use of disgusting fragrances. But, you know, you and I might notice that it smells repulsive and get sick from it, but it doesn't mean we're not all being affected in it, you know, by these endocrine disruptors and, you know, things that are causing health problems for people. So I make a parallel between that and the wireless radiation. Like, some of us can feel it and have immediate effects, and then other people it's more cumulative long term, but it's dangerous for everybody. And it's our job as the messengers to sound the alarm, and hopefully and everyone else will start picking up. You know, I've encountered a lot less resistance in recent years than I did originally when this started happening, because pretty much all my friends told me I was psychosomatic and just making too big of a deal of it. And it's part of the reason I went to cave life, because I just didn't want to deal with their opinions anymore, because I knew what was happening to me. But now it's becoming more, and I wouldn't say mainstream, but closer and closer to that, to the point where anyone I talk to has at least heard of this before. And, you know, they're willing to dialogue with me about the possibility that this might not be safe.
And when you first found out about this, Julia, who did you go to first? Did you try a traditional doctor or traditional medicine? Let's call it traditional medicine.
Well, even before I knew what was up, I'd gone to different both conventional and, I don't know, alternative, we could say. I went to different practitioners to try to figure out what was going on. And I got all kind. I never got a straight answer. I also had some digestive stuff, but I got, like Lyme disease was, someone told me that on the East Coast that I might have, that might be a factor. Candida, chronic fatigue, like all of these. And then before that, I was actually diagnosed bipolar, which is a joke. I'm not, I'm about the calmest person I know now, but around the fields, you know, it was messing with my sleep and mood and everything. So yeah, I've was on this journey for years trying to figure out a straight answer, and nobody really gave me one, long story short, either from the allopathic or a more natural medicine based perspective. And I figured it out myself just by the contrast, getting away from it and then getting around it. It was obvious. And then I, the one person who did eventually help was through a mutual friend, I found a researcher of electrosensitivity and the effects of electricity on biology. This guy, Gary, who lives out here locally and suffers from it himself. And he taught me a lot. He gave me a message of hope and said that there's nothing wrong with you. You just feel these things that other people can't feel. And this is what you can, these are strategies you can use to improve your life. And these are the things you need to avoid. So that helped me a lot. And then over the years, I've met other people who were dealing with similar conditions. And it definitely helped to have community and support.
Yeah, I bet. It's a strange one, like I said, because I don't actually know anybody else who's ever come to me and said that they've got this. But yeah, I know people are doing the best to protect them from it, because where we are now is actually an extreme level already. Because if you think, you know, 1900s, there was pretty much zero EMF. And I would say the rate since then must have gone up. Who knows? Is it billions of percent, trillions of percent? It's actually probably hard to quantify, because the whole world is flooded now with these devices. And 100 years ago, and for millions of years previous to that, human beings were not being exposed to all of these artificial electromagnetic frequencies. But really, once you got to say the 1970s, it was like the proliferation inside of all of our houses, and then cell phones came in. And today we're just completely bombarded by them. You know, you mentioned Lyme disease, and there's so many other diseases that really just seem to have taken off since the 1970s. ADHD in children, depression, all kinds of autoimmune issues. So how much of this huge health crisis that we're facing do you think is attributable, at least in some part, to EMF?
Honestly, I'd say most of it. And well, that EMF and chemicals are probably play a similar, probably about, I don't know, maybe equal. They play off of each other. It's kind of a perfect storm of things going wrong and a deviation from the natural environment in which we, you know, are designed to handle. But yeah, I mean, I would say it's definitely related, because I had most of these conditions myself, and it all went away when I got away instantly. When I got away from the fields, ADHD, fibromyalgia, weird tingling nerve pain, chronic fatigue, bipolar, depression, all of these things are definitely related. And for me, it was getting the gluten out of my diet solved a lot of it. And then going organic over the years fixed a lot of my brain fog and cognition problems. But there was still always a missing piece, and I never felt right in cities. And Yeah, and then it was when I moved out to natural areas, not even knowing that the electricity was a factor. That was when the rest of these problems went away for me, and other people's stories have correlated really similarly.
I think there's definitely something there, and I don't think they're ever going to discuss it because it would completely destroy their own agendas for the future.
Exactly.
Imagine if they admitted this now, it'd be like, oh, we can't do the smart cities. You know,
Right.
it's not going to happen, is it? So we have to become our own doctors on this one.
Of course. And I have being studying herbalism has really helped me to mitigate symptoms and help myself to function better. And I recommend it to everyone else too, that they give themselves the best chance that they can, study herbalism and natural medicine. And because you can treat a lot of things yourself. But first and foremost, turn the devices off and stop putting money into the enemy's bank account every month when you pay your phone bill, just hardwire everything. Stop using Bluetooth. If you have to use a device, make sure that the Bluetooth and Wi-Fi are turned off and that it's in airplane mode. Because I can use this laptop computer just fine in small doses. I don't like to sit and type at it for too long because it still always has a magnetic field. So I use a mouse to get further away from the keypad. And I tend to use it more in morning hours when I have more energy. But as long as it's on landline internet, I can use it for the most part. But I never use anything wireless. And landline phones are fine. We all used to have them before the early 2000s, and most of us functioned better but during that time period too. And there wasn't as much ADD, all of the modern diseases, the ADD and the depression and the fibromyalgia, and the list goes on.
Yeah, it's getting scary as well with young people. ADHD is so prescribed now by doctors as a thing. And, I always say, well, what has that child been exposed to for the first 3 years of its life? And then also when it was in its mother's womb, if the mother sat there with a laptop literally in front of her on her stomach or an iPad or a phone, it's going to be affecting the unborn child whilst it's developing in its most important stages. So it really is a nightmare situation we've got. And the only way to stop it now is probably to go extremely, well, like you have, go extreme the other direction. But I think a lot of people are terrified of that because our lives have so shaped themselves around the technology. I mean, we're both sat here now on the internet. If I wanted to interview you, Julia, I'd be getting a long flight out there and then a long car drive. It might take me 2 weeks. So this is amazing that we can do this. But then also, I think what's coming now is particularly scary and it's going to happen so fast. And one thing that I wanted to ask you, Julia, is my EMF poisoning didn't start to really take shape until 2020. And I'd not even put any thought into this until this interview. I was speaking to my wife and I was trying to remember, like, when did it actually start? And I realized it was when I moved from England to Poland in 2020, probably later that autumn. And then I thought, well, this was about the time when they was doing the global scamdemic and locking everyone down. And who knows what they were actually doing in the skies and around us at that point? We know that now the chemtrailing's gone off the charts. It's like every day, all day, and there's nanoparticles in there. So I actually don't know what's in my environment anymore, and I don't think any of us do. But is that a coincidence, or do you think there was something happening during that phase that may have triggered my EMF? Like, do you think there was a rollout of 5G at that time? I know a lot of people have discussed that. Do you think that people who took the injections were having something put in them that could have triggered it?
Well, the rise of 5G, when everybody was locked in their houses and their eyes were glued to the screen watching Netflix, telecom workers were lurking around the neighborhoods installing these 5G towers. I mean, it happened to my aunt. She said there was a radio tower across the street from her house, and in 2020, a helicopter came and installed this antenna at the top of the radio tower. And she said ever since then, she's been getting the symptoms she's describing were similar to mine. She said weird shooting nerve pains in her head and stuff. But this happened worldwide, and luckily not where I live. There still isn't any. But in most urban areas, these 5G antennas, they look like a rectangular panel. And not that all the other G's aren't bad too, but the 5G is a larger part of the microwave spectrum. I mean, we're basically being microwaved. It's really high frequency radiation, and then also some lower frequency waves too. And the 3G and 4G antennas also haven't gone away. It's just that they've added to it. And yeah, and people weren't really paying attention, but this was installed worldwide during 2020. And people started getting all of these weird symptoms and heart attacks and long COVID, they say, and all of these other things. And, you know, it's like, make your own, draw your own conclusions about this, people, but at least we should be looking at, looking around us in the world and, putting two and two together.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, 5G is going to be different to 4G and 3G because it uses millimeter waves. And I always remember the first time I read a study that you can still find online. It's actually in the CIA's archives, and it was from the Soviets in the 1980s. And I don't know if you've read this one, but the Soviets were testing the weaponization capabilities. Have you seen this one?
I haven't seen the video, but I've heard of this.
Yeah, I've got a quote here. This is from 1980s research paper by the Soviets during the Cold War, and they was trying to find a way to weaponize different frequencies, and they was testing with millimeter waves, which just so happened to be the waves that 5G use. And here's a quote from it. It says, "Morphological, functional, and biomedical studies conducted in humans and animals revealed that millimeter waves caused changes in the body manifested in structural alternations in the skin and internal organs, qualitative and quantitative changes in the blood and bone marrow composition, and changes of the conditioned reflex activity, tissue respiration, activity of enzymes participating in the process of tissue respiration and nucleic metabolism. The degree of unfavorable effects of millimeter waves depended on the duration of the radiation and the individual characteristics of the organism." So essentially, they found out that they could cook somebody from within. If they applied these millimeter waves to a subject, they could fry them and get their skin cells to break apart. And yeah, it could affect the organs and bone marrow even. So this is pretty haunting stuff when we realize that these are going to be flying around everywhere. And to have 5G, you have to actually have to put these receivers everywhere. It's not like 4G where it can just kind of do this broad spectrum wavelength. It has to be much more accurate. So every house almost would have to have a 5G antenna. I think it's something like a few meters apart you have to have them. So how much have you looked into 5G, Julia? And what do you think this will mean for people with, firstly, with sensitivity already, and for people who don't have it already? Do you think that it could be weaponized against us all in new ways that we just haven't seen before?
Well, totally. I mean, in it of itself, it's a weapon because of what it's, you know, that it's cooking people from the inside out. It gives people weird skin rash. A lot of people get weird skin rashes from it that go away when they get away from it. So yeah, for people like me, it just means that I go to town even less than I ever did before, because it's not an option to be around that. And for everyone else too, I'd recommend just get away from it, protest, don't accept it, don't get a 5G phone, don't feed into it, and be aware of it, go to city council meetings, fight antennas going on kids' schools, just don't accept this as your as inevitable reality and progress, because it's not. The one bright side of the 5G is that it doesn't reach very far. At least the higher parts of the spectrum, that's an oversimplified view, because there's lower parts, there's a longer wave part of the 5G, but the short millimeter waves don't go very far, and they're pretty easy to block. So moving out in the country out here, I'm still safe from it, knock on wood. But cities are just becoming more and more inhabitable all the time. There's ways to block it. I have this leather helmet here and that I wear when I go out driving or go into town. It kind of looks like a gladiator style or aviator style helmet, really.
It looks like the kind of thing steampunks wear.
Yeah, it's super cool and much better looking than a tinfoil hat, which I don't recommend and doesn't work. But anyway, yeah, whenever I go into town, my friend and I, she has it too. She swears by leather coats, so I started getting into them too, and I'll wear leather coats and just sometimes gloves, like anything leather that I can, because it significantly blocks it, and you can do a test with an EMF meter behind a leather jacket. And it blocks it by maybe a third or more, depending on the thickness of the leather and stuff. And biologic, yeah. So wool also helps, and like different biological materials really help to absorb some of it. And yeah, and if you're in a house, like a brick house will work a lot better than a wooden house, you know. Metal is generally bad because it can radiate it, but it can also sometimes block it too. It's problematic, but sometimes useful. But layers of natural materials are the best way to go. So I'm currently digging an underground house, and it's going to be roofed over with dirt, and which will really help out in the harsh desert environment in which I live. It'll help with coolness in the summertime, and it'll be easier to heat in the winter. But it also will block most of the EMF, and if satellites ever become a problem here, it should significantly help with that. And I don't really have much. There's almost a zero signal on my meters on a daily basis out here. But you know, things can always change. So I'm just trying to stay two steps ahead and always be prepared.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned the meter there, and that's one of the first things that I did when I realized what was happening to me. Because when I realized it was the that I, when I turned the laptop Wi-Fi adapter off, it disappeared. I thought, well, geez, it must be hitting me from all these other things around me. So I bought myself a meter, and I was surprised to see that actually there's very little EMF here. It's pretty much a zero on the meter. There's like nothing where I live because I live in the forest essentially. So like you, I got as far away from the cities as I could, not just for this reason, but for many reasons, Julia. I think we're going to have
Right.
a few difficult years ahead of us. The cities are not the place to be for many reasons, and this is just another.
Right.
But what I did do as well, I started to test it when I went out to the city, and it's unbelievable just how fast that thing goes up once you get towards the city. And there's no escaping this in the city. Hundreds of thousands of percent higher from where I live to the city. So that just shows you, like, you don't know it's happening, but you can't live in a city and not be bombarded with these things. And we are all guinea pigs in the greatest experiment in human history, because nobody has lived 50 years with these readings that we've got now. Nobody's lived, I would say, probably 20 years even. And we know people are getting all kinds of illnesses in old age, but I think it's going to go off the charts. I think people are going to die much younger because of this and lead much more miserable lives because nobody's feeling good about themselves. We're all feeling down and stressed and depressed. So, yeah, I think this is kind of becoming imperative now. You don't want to get trapped in the city in the coming decades or so because they haven't even really got started on this. That's the scariest part. We are entering a new age. And how much do you know about all of that stuff, Julia? Have you looked into things like the Internet of Bodies and Internet of Things and these kind of sick agendas where they actually want to put the transmitters inside you? Because for people like you, that must be like your worst nightmare, that vision of a future.
Yeah, and I've actually had nightmares about it that over the years that feel almost like prophetic dreams, like it just feels like I'm there. And I want no part of it. And, you know, so I'm just going to stay out here in out in nature and, you know, hope for the best. And, but yeah, it's a like sick, disgusting and agenda, and we should not participate in it. You know, my brother, who's a year and a half younger than me, and we're kind of opposites, but, he, designs websites for a living and lives in New York City. And he calls it working for the dark side. But he recently said to me, he's like, you know, computers, and he said it really seriously. He said, you know, computers are gonna, the AI is gonna take over the world and we're all screwed. And I was like, yeah, I've been trying to tell you this for years. And he's like, yeah, probably a few people like you out in the boonies might survive, but you know, just the rest of us, there's no hope. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I think we've diverged now. I think 2020 was that kind of the fork in the road really occurred, and you either went down one path or you embedded yourself in the other. And I think if you haven't got the picture by now in 2024, you're probably not going to.
Probably too late.
I don't. I
Right.
think most people have made the decision now, and life's going to get very different for both of us because people like us are going further and further down our paths, which involves going further out of society and towards small communities and building like parallel systems where we can live our own independent lives without the need for the system. And the people that have embedded themselves in the system and call us tinfoil hat wearers, those people are just going to accept it, right? They're going to continue taking whatever injections they're given. They're going to fall for whatever psyops they're given. And once the Internet of Bodies comes, they'll be the first people in line for it. They'll get psyoped into it. They'll just jump straight into it. And yeah, I don't think our societies will meet again because I certainly won't ever go back to that. I'd rather run into the hills, run to the mountains, than go back to a city once all of this stuff's in place. I mean, even now, it's kind of unbearable to be in a city for me.
Yeah, and more people are saying that, even people who aren't so-called EMF sensitive. I've seen a lot of people move out to this area, and inevitably they don't like going back once they get a t once they have the perspective shift, you know. But for the people who have chosen to embrace the in whatever the mechanized world, you know, they love it, and you know, they can all go into the metaverse, and the bright side is things will get quieter out here, and it might be an improvement. And you know, I think just if we don't consent to all of that, you know, I think basically I think there's hope. And plant a garden, get some animals, and just don't be fearful. Just you know, think about practical solutions and just work on creating a more sane way of life. The worst that can happen is it kills us, but it probably won't. And you know, the human spirit and the human mind and body are very adaptable and resilient. And I think that as long as we don't lose sight of who we are, and that the fact of that we are biological life powered by DC solar energy, then some of us will always survive. And you know, and just do the best we can, create something better.
Yeah, I totally agree, Julia. And I don't think their system's gonna survive anyways. If you think about the kind of mass experimentation that they're going ahead with right now from the chemtrailing that just seems to have gone up exponentially since 2020. Everyone's posting pictures all across the world and we see it every day. And the aluminium content in the soil and the kind of experiments they're putting on nature and then forcibly putting onto humans from the fake vaccines to the new drugs that they're bringing out that are all going to be mRNA drugs, which is just more of the same, which is again experimentation, putting stuff into our foods, genetically modified foods that already existed, but they're going to be adding potentially nanotechnology to the foods. All of these things are happening without our express consent, but we still have a choice. We still have a choice to say, actually, I'm going to move away from your stuff. I'll live off potatoes that I grow on my own land. Thank you very much. And you know, you can go live in a cave, you can live underground, but you don't have to accept that future. But there will be a time where it becomes, I don't want to say impossible because I don't like to put definites, but it will become extremely difficult to make the choice because the further you go down this path, the harder it will be. There will be a time maybe when the door closes and they just block us from traveling again. And then you're kind of forced to be wherever you are. So I would say these are the times now to really look not where we are right now, but that's a good basis saying, wow, look how bad it's getting. But also just imagine this out 5 years from here. You know, project out, look at the arc of history, read their own literature, what they want to do. You know, they're quite open and bold about telling us the things they're planning to do, aren't they?
Right. Well, it's so unbelievable that, and people don't want to believe it. So, you know, so they just choose to ignore it. But I would say that things are going to get more and more annoying in the coming years, and that we just try to make a sane lifestyle away from it. You know, right now I could take my goat herd and go out and live in a cave and live off of raw milk and yogurt if I wanted to, and whatever wild edibles I forage off the land. You know, I'm hoping to not be forced into doing this and to just be going on some camping trips and having fun and testing my skills. But there may come a time when we're forced to to not depend on society. And, you know, I would say for people just developing self-reliance skills is paramount right now.
Yeah, I agree, Julia, for many, many reasons besides just the EMF. There's so many other threats that will be there, isn't there?
For sure. And we have to want to survive, because otherwise, I mean, I could have given up years ago. Things were bad, but that was just never an option to me, because, you know, the human spirit wants to, like, we have the urge to live and to do the best we can, just because, if for no other reason than just curiosity to see what comes next.
And what's it like where you are, Julia? You said you're out in Colorado. Is there a community forming around there that are people from the EMF poisoned community, or is it just a group of people that are slowly coming together? It sounds like you've got a few people in your vicinity that have similar issues.
Right. There's a lot of us in this area, kind of spread out far and few between, but it's an area that attracts EMF sensitive people. Sometimes I wonder if it creates them too, though, because it happened to me when I moved here within a year, and there's a lot of uranium dust and weird stuff going on. So I really don't know. It may have been inevitable that it was going to happen to me, though. There's a few of it's it, so where I am currently, it's kind of a dying ranching community, to be honest, where there's these homesteads that have been farmed and ranched for generations, but the younger people are leaving and moving to cities. So there's a lot of open space. You can see that. I like to say, you can see the smoke from a person from your neighbor's fireplace, but you can't get a signal from their Wi-Fi, which, you know, makes for good neighbors. I have a few close friends who are EMF sensitive, and also a lot of my friends who don't identify as EMF sensitive still are out here because they don't like the mechanized world, and they just want a sane reality where there's where they're in nature, and they're not obsessed with having a Wi-Fi signal at all times.
Yeah, and this is the crazy thing. There's so many people who come out to say, like, we have family members come out to our farm, or listeners will probably understand what I'm saying. Like, when you go out to the mountains or you go out to nature and you're removed from all of the signals, and people will be so quick to say how relaxed they felt and how great it was, and they'll seek it out for holidays, and yet they're not connecting the dots that when they're in the city, they're not feeling like that. And I know we can't just say it's EMF, because of course, being in a city is quite a soulless place for a lot of people. You don't have the green spaces and nature. But there really is something that I think people are subconsciously recognizing once they go out to a more natural place, that all of this weight, this EMF toxicity is being taken from them. All of the stress is relieved, but they're just not connecting the two. And maybe listening to this, they'll recognize that actually there is something that's beyond just being in a city. It's not just that, it's all of that toxicity in the air.
Right. Yeah. It's not just stress, although that is definitely a part of it. People who visit me out here all the time, they say their sleep is better, and that it's like a weight, an expansiveness, like a weight has been lifted off of their shoulders, and there's a clarity that they haven't felt before, maybe in years. Because, you know, we're all affected by it, you know? And it's just, you know, I wish them the best, anyone who's stuck in a city right now.
And how did the book come about, Julie? When did you decide to write it? And was it a way of getting that awareness out to other people?
Definitely. It was like a way of giving back and of sharing with people what I've learned. So I've been a writer for years, well, since I was a kid, really. And I've written a few other books, but this book, I immediately started writing it when it happened to me, when I first smashed my cell phone, which is the opening chapter of my book. I wrote that part right after it happened. And then the rest of it, I was for years trying to come up with, I was trying to cure it originally, because I thought if I just found the right herb or the right diet or whatever, I could fix myself and go back into town. And I over time realized that probably wasn't going to happen. But anyway, so this book evolved over over a space of probably over 10 years. But it wasn't until 2 years ago, when I got the farm, really, was when I realized there was a happy ending to the story and that it was time to write the book. So then I just sat down over the course of a winter and wrote it and did some research online to to fill in some of the blanks. It's a kind of alternate chapters of my life story, then mixed with some of the science on the EMFs and mitigation strategies for what you can do. I talk about primitive do-it-yourself beginner level building. I talk a little bit about herbalism, goats, like life on different, different things that don't work too, and things that work, and how to talk to people, psychology of electrosensitive people, some of the technologies that are like the Internet of Things and thing, you know, future things to watch out for. A little bit about Elon Musk and his agenda, and also the overlap between electrical and chemical sensitivities and different, and then how to, as far as, how to have a safer and more balanced relationship with technology, how to set up a landline. These are all aspects that are covered in my book. And I try to keep it all upbeat and make it funny. And I probably swear too much, but hopefully none of your listeners are too offended by that. And I just try to make it accessible and, relate to people.
Yeah, it's really practical because we got the book just the other day and my wife read it immediately and she loved it as well. So,
oh, good.
Thanks for sharing that with us because, those practical tips. And in part two, I'd really like to get into some of those ones with you. And I know my listeners are interested in this. Just a quick aside, like literally 5 minutes before I started this interview with you, one of my community members sent me a message asking about EMF blocking. It might be clothes. He was like, has anyone bought these? And I said, it's funny you mentioned that. I'm going to be talking to somebody just in 5 minutes on my podcast. So I'm going to ask you about that in part two, Julia. Where can listeners go to find out more about you, Julia, or to buy the book? Is there a good place to send them?
Yeah, unfortunately, Amazon, it's the easiest place to publish books. So yeah, look it up, Under a Rock, an Electrosensitivity Survival Guide by Julia Lupine.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for your time, Julia. And I look forward to speaking to you in part two.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it for part number one, everyone. But in part number two, Julia is going to be giving us some very practical advice. We're going to talk about things we can do in our house in terms of our appliances and our exposure to EMFs to try and limit the damages. We're also going to talk about things like medicines and diet, things that we can do to help minimize the consequences of EMF if we do have to live in a city. We're going to talk about meters, which meters we can buy, what's the best out there so we can measure the EMF that we're exposed to. So it's going to be very practical. I think you're going to find this one very useful. Members, please head over to parallelmic.com if you haven't already to listen to that part. One last thing before we go, I do have group coaching for investors coming up in June. This is going to be another group where we go through the process of protecting our wealth, going into the financial reset. And ultimately, we are going into a reset and many people are going to go down with the ship. Whereas we are going to be like Noah, we're building our ark and there has to be a financial element to that too. So if you're interested, please reach out to me at parallelsystems@protonmail.com. In closing, hope you're all well, healthy and happy. Take care of yourselves and I'll see you in the next one.
What you are basic. Deep, deep down, far, far in. Is simply the fabric and structure of existence itself.
Peace for all men and women, for all men and women, for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, peace in all time.
Honestly, expressing yourself.
For all men and women, for all men and women, for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, peace in all time.
the fabric and structure of existence itself.
Not really peace in our time, peace in all time.